Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've been taking a look into Mark's Gospel. Mark, the writer of the Gospel, pressing on, accounts for so many instances in the life of Jesus in a very succinct way, dropping gems of truth along the way. And he records how Jesus goes into Capernaum and the way that he's preaching in the home, and the friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus, and how he forgives his sin and heals him. Again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a great crowd came. And the Bible says in verse 13, and he began to teach them. I've shared this point before, but I did just want to emphasize, Jesus taught people the truth. He opened up the Word of God in a very, very powerful way. And he would always take opportunity to do that. Yes, he did heal people. Yes, he did cast out the demons. But again, this emphasis on teaching the Word of God is there. Now, the Pharisees, when they become aware of what's going on, and they see Jesus mixing with people who they consider to be unclean, they get very upset. But Jesus' answer is this, in verse 17, he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's a very, very telling phrase, because I guess that they, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, they consider themselves to be righteous. And what Jesus is really saying is, there's not a lot that can be done for you. You're so convinced you've got it right. You're not hungry, you're not interested. However, the sort of people who you despise, the sort of people you look down on, well, they're people who do realize that they need a word from God. They do realize they need to be forgiven and cleansed. And that's why I'm going to make sure I spend time with these people. Now, Jesus' disciples begin to gather around him, and there's an awareness that John the Baptist has disciples, and that Jesus has disciples, and so there's going to be a comparison. Well, what John does and what Jesus does, are they always the same? Does it matter that sometimes they may be different? It's certainly going to raise attention. And the question is asked, how is it that John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples are fasting, but yours are not? Well, in actual fact, Jesus did sometimes encourage the disciples to fast. But what Jesus wants to illustrate here is that he is present with the disciples. And because he is the bridegroom, because he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the necessity for the disciples to fast is not there, because he's with them. He's right there in their presence. And he talks about the fact that he's bringing in a new order. He's bringing in a different way of looking at things. He is going to put the law to one side and fulfill the law. And as he fulfills the law, so a day of grace is going to open up. He's going to talk about this a lot more, and the Pharisees are really going to struggle with this. They don't like grace. They're much more happy with work, 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 doing this and doing that. But a Jesus who offers forgiveness and mercy, even though we don't deserve it, they will struggle with him. We must pause, and we're going to listen to a worship song, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to look a little more closely into some of these thoughts in Mark chapter 2.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the second half of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, from verse 13. The calling of Levi, this tax collector. And you made the point that he was regarded as unclean. Why was he regarded as unclean?
Well, it was because he did not observe the rules and regulations and laws that the Pharisees were so fond of. And so in their eyes, he was not a very godly man, and he was beyond hope, really. He was collecting taxes. He was involved in the Roman regime because he had to have some sort of authority from them to do it. So they didn't want to touch him, literally.
And so Jesus' message, quite clearly here, is that these are the people that he's come for.
Very much so. Jesus is going to give his time to people who have a real hunger and desire for a change of life. And Levi does.
Yeah. Now, this question about fasting, which comes up from verse 18, it's quite interesting because Jesus makes the point that, as you said, while he's the bridegroom, they don't need to fast. This is the first time, you know, in this gospel that he's actually highlighting his status, the fact that he is important, and because of that, they don't need to fast.
Well, yes, that's right. Jesus is really wanting to convey the reality that he is the Messiah, he is God, but he wants to do it in a very gentle way. He's not going to be abrasive about it or brag about it, but it's a matter of fact. You know, if the bridegroom is present, you rejoice. You don't fast because you're enjoying the wedding, and therefore I am present Therefore my disciples will enjoy the reality of my presence.
Then he goes on to talk about the old wine into new wineskins, indicating that what he has is something new. So just open up for us a little bit. What was new? Was it that he was going round and healing people? Was that the new thing?
No, that wasn't necessarily the new thing. Obviously, the prophets like Elijah and Elisha, we see a very powerful healing ministry through them. Now, what was new was that Jesus was fulfilling the law. Because Jesus was righteous and holy before God, he was moving towards being able to offer himself at God's right time on the cross to be our sacrifice, so that we who fail the law miserably could be thoroughly accepted by God. Nothing brushed under the carpet and pushed out of the way, but a dealing with our problem. That was what was new. The law didn't deal with our problem. All it did was highlight how bad the problem was. But Jesus came to solve the problem by living righteously and then later offering himself for us.
And finally then, in this chapter, he touches on Sabbath observance, which was controversial then, and it's probably just as controversial now in many circles. I realise it's a big subject, but any sort of guidelines as to Sabbath observance today and what our emphasis should be?
Well, I think what he says in verse 27 is an excellent summary, isn't it? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath idea was that we need rest. We need refreshment. So it's not meant to be a kind of a cruel, ruthless blow to knock you over the head with. It's a caring thing. It's a compassionate thing. And again, that's just what the Pharisees could never really get their heads around. They saw everything as a great big stick to be, then you beat people with it. Yeah. And she's saying, look, it's not like that. Actually, God has set aside a day for your benefit. You will be blessed by observing the Sabbath. It's not meant to be a rod to beat you with.
Okay. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.